Welcome to class session 561 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And that school bell tells you to get your Bibles and be ready to follow along as we continue with our lessons on the history in the Old Testament. And we're talking about that time that Jeroboam established his own religion, setting up golden calves for Israel to worship. We read about that in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 28, whereas the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, and he said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. I'm rather surprised that of all the choices Jeroboam could have made, he chose golden calves. Was not that the very image that got Israel in trouble and incurred God's wrath before Mount Sinai when Aaron made a calf of gold and they played before that calf while Moses was up on the mount? Nevertheless, that's what Jeroboam chose. Now, we're going to be reading Elam's notes on that passage and on this event in just a moment. Before I get to Elam's notes, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read to you from Elam's notes. In the text we read, we saw that the king took counsel. He consulted doubtless with some of the leading men of his kingdom, who, like himself, placed temporal and personal success above the true worship of God. To worship God truly, obeying Him in all things, was the only way Jeroboam and his house could be established on the throne. But to him this seemed the way of his overthrow and ruin, so he deliberately set aside God's worship and law for his own personal advantage and glory. His counselors agreed with him that this course was the only safe one to pursue, and so he made two calves of gold. In making an idol, why should they make a calf or calves? Aaron made a golden calf. It has been supposed by some that this was an intimidation, in imitation of the religion of Egypt. The Egyptians worshipped their god Apis under the form of an ox or a bull. It is probable that these images were made of wood and overlaid with gold. The cherubim of the temple was made of olive wood and overlaid with gold, 1 Kings 6, 23 and 28. Jeroboam said, It's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. This was the first pretext which Jeroboam offered the people. He did not reveal to them the real motive of his heart. The margin of the American Standard Version says, Ye have gone up long enough to Jerusalem. Jerusalem could not see how the two kingdoms could exist with only one place and one system of worship. With a rival kingdom, he must establish a rival religion and rival places of worship. We read about the woman at Jacob's well and how she said to Jesus, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus replied, Ye worship that ye know not. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. John 4, 20-22. This woman and her fathers, like Jeroboam, were wrong. This contention over the place of worship in Christ's day shows how long a false theory and system will continue. And this woman is an illustration of how tenaciously people cling to the erroneous traditions of their fathers. Jeroboam persuaded the people that it was not necessary to go to Jerusalem in order to worship. Had he lived in our day, he probably would have said, What difference does it make where we worship so long as we worship? The worship is the principal thing, and so that it is done, it matters not when or where it is done. It is a pleasing argument with people today that it matters not what is done in religion or how it is done, so something is done, whether that be just what God commanded or not. Jeroboam persuaded the people that going to Jerusalem was a non-essential. People today are persuaded that some of God's commandments in the New Testament, sealed by the blood of Jesus, are non-essential. Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. He himself was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, Matthew 3:15. The Holy Spirit says to all who believe in Jesus as the Savior and desire to obey Him and be forgiven, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," Acts 2 and verse 38. Jesus sent out the apostles to teach all nations and to baptize all who would receive His teaching, Acts 2 and verse 41. We read in Matthew 28:19 that the disciples were told to go and make disciples, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then there's other passages. We have in Luke 7:29-30, that all the people, when they heard, and the publicans, justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected for themselves the counsel of God, being not baptized of Him. In Acts 8:5, we read that Philip went down the city of Samaria and proclaimed unto them the Christ. And then in Acts 8:12, when they believed Philip preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts 8:14. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. And then we read later, in Acts 8:38, that the eunuch commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. In Acts 9:18, reading of Paul, we read that straightway there fell from his eyes as it were scales, and he received his sight, and arose, and was baptized. In Acts 10:48, we have Peter commanding a Roman centurion to be baptized, where it says, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." In Acts 16:33, we read about the jailer who took Paul and Silas the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, immediately. In Acts 8:8, we read about Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, who believed in the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. And then we read this account in Acts 19:1-7. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. He said unto them, "Did ye receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, when ye believed?" And they said unto him, "Nay, we did not so much as hear whether the Holy Spirit was given." And he said unto them, "Into what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him," that is, on Jesus. "And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And there were all about 12 men." We read in the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Are you all ignorant that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we also might walk in newness of life. And then down in Romans 6, 17 and 18, but thanks be to God, whereas ye were the servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto ye were delivered, and being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. In 1 Corinthians 1, 14 through 16, Paul writes, I thank God that I baptized none of you, save Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that you were baptized in my name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. In Colossians 2 and verse 12, we read, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And Peter wrote in 2 Peter 2:21, for hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. And in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, we read that after true likeness doth now save you, even baptism, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. With all of this before us, how can anyone say that baptism is a non-essential? Since Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 7:21, how can anyone think that any commandment of God is non-essential? Let no modern Jeroboam persuade you that God's commandments now are implicit obedience to Jesus. Hebrews 5:7-9 are not essential. In Hebrews 5:7-9 says about Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save him from death, having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made up perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation, named of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. It is absolutely right, and it is safe, to obey God in faith. It was the want of faith that led Jeroboam to doubt God and to establish idolatry. It is not faith, but the want of it, which leads many now to set aside God's appointed way and substitute ways and means of their own. Jeroboam said, behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. These calves he made were to represent God to them. This is the language used by Aaron when he made the golden calf. He said, these are thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, Exodus 32 and verse 4. Jeroboam and his people should have remembered the disastrous consequences of Aaron's effort. Likewise, Aaron, Jeroboam did not intend to give up worship of Jehovah altogether, but to worship him through these images. He persuaded the people that it was the same worship carried on in the way and places which seemed best unto them. And he set one of those calves up in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. From all that had occurred at Bethel, how easy it must have been for Jeroboam to persuade the people that this was a sacred place called by the very name of God. It was convenient on all the southern side of Egypt. An altar at Dan would be convenient to all the northern part of his kingdom. And this thing became a sin unto them. We'll continue next class.